something to see. She gave her heart to Jesus, and he gave her to me. I wish she could have met my daddy. Oh, how happy he would be.
You're listening to Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Activity starting to get back on the schedule here, coming off the holiday break for South Dakota High School's practices and competition could begin yesterday. Wasn't a lot on the scoreboard from yesterday, although the Hoop City Classic did start down at the Mitchell Corn Palace, mainly with out-of-state teams, but they'll go full gear beginning today. In fact, there's a holiday classic basketballs going on. Tournaments going on all over, including here in Huron, the Huron Arena hosting the Huron Holiday Classic. Total of 7 games to be played. Starts at 10:30 this morning. James Valley Christian, Jones County. They'll be followed by Burke and Chester, Howard and Kimball White Lake. DeSmit plays Lower Brule. Coleman Egan plays Fulton. Clark Willow Lake plays Warner. In the final game of the day, a pair of top 5 teams in Class B, Lyman in Sanborn Central Woonsocket. The boys' turn for the Huron Holiday Classic will be on Monday. Also on the schedule for today, basketball doubleheader, Woolsey Wessington and Sully Buttes. The Entringer Boys Basketball Classic gets underway today, or runs today, in Brookings. Pair of area teams play. Iroquois Lake Preston matches up with Oldham Ramona Rutland, and DeSmit will play Chester. Finally, there's boys hockey with Huron hosting Yankton. In fact, there's a full day at Bergman with a league game starting at 1 o'clock today, and then the night capped off by an alumni game beginning at 8 o'clock at Bergman. Alumni will have 3 30-minute games. They'll be split up into 3 different teams. Odd-number year graduates, even-numbered year graduates, and a 30-plus group. There is a sign-up form on the Huron Hockey Association Facebook page. And that's what we have for our scoreboard for today. But obviously, things will start to pick up now that we're past Christmas. January, always the busiest month of the year for us here at Dakota Sports. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, a best-of show I always like to do on the last show of the year, my favorite interviews from the year. This year will feature 3 Huron High School graduates that have moved on for positions in college athletics. J.C. Hupp, 2015 graduate of Huron High School, head women's rodeo coach at the University of Wyoming. I talked to her back in May. Ryan Chase, a 2016 Huron High School graduate. He's the new track and field and cross-country coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. Talked to him right after he got the job in early August. And Matt Watson visits with Jaron Duffy, a 2012 graduate who is an associate athletic director with the University of South Dakota. Kind of a long show today, but again, my 3 favorite interviews from this past year. And that will get underway at about 5 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up on our former Huron Tiger Tour, a I talked last May with 2015 graduate J.C. Hupp. J.C., an All-State volleyball player, starter in basketball, but her true love was always rodeo, was a rodeo athlete at South Dakota State, had some hardships along the way, but was named a head rodeo coach about a year and a half ago at the University of Wyoming. J.C., first off, how did your experiences in Huron get you to where you are today?
So not a lot of people probably know this, but there is a huge rodeo community in Huron. Just in my section alone, I think there's four outdoor arenas. So I always got to practice and just kind of go back and forth between other families' practice facilities within a mile of each other. So it's kind of, and especially with the momentum of the decks being built, I think people are starting to realize now more than ever that there is a huge rodeo community in Huron.
Well, you know, you had choices. You're an all-around athlete. If I remember right, you started pretty much everything from freshman year on with the Tigers, volleyball, basketball, all of that. And so, you know, you saw different coaches, you saw different philosophies, and, you know, those are things you can carry as well.
Oh, for sure, which not a lot of people know. I had a, especially in goat tying for college, which was probably my most prominent event, I always did my volleyball warm-up. So Shelly Budenhagen would probably be pretty proud of that, but I knew that was the best way for my muscles to just be loose and reactive and feel their best. So I was always, even though I was doing my rodeo event, I always did my volleyball warm-up.
And speaking of volleyball, that's where your choice came. As I remember, your senior year placed third. If we hadn't been in the same bracket as O'Gorman, I think we would have been in the championship against O'Gorman that year. You had a decision to make because SDSU Rodeo obviously wanted you, and you had the family tradition there with your brother and sister, but there were more than a few colleges knocking on the door hard.
Yep, there sure was. I remember Shelly pulling me aside one practice and being like, "So I have a lot of calls coming for you, and they're really asking for your number. Are you even considering this, or are you just all rodeo?" And I finally ultimately said, "Yeah, you can give them my number." And I was especially in contact with Augie and Dakota Westland and a few other schools, and I went back and forth, pretty much until July. I didn't let my rodeo coach know until almost a month before school started, and I truly didn't know, but ultimately just decided that rodeoing with my sister, her being a senior, me being a freshman, and that was where my true passion was, and that's the path I was going to go.
You know, so you go into rodeo at SDSU, at least, you know, Trevor and Taryn had been there ahead of you, your siblings, so they were able, I'm sure, to give you an idea what this was going to be about, what was needed from you, and so on.
Yep, and I was able to, I was fortunate enough to make college finals my freshman year, and I credit a lot of that to just piggybacking off of my older siblings and not making the freshman mistakes that I think a lot of freshmen make, because I was able to ask my sister and pick her brain, and we hauled to all the rodeos together all season, and we actually ended up making college finals together that year, and I credit a lot of my success that year, and I think I ended up third in the nation that year, and I credit so much of that to just being able to ask more or less the stupid questions to my older sister who knew everything.
Well, that's the thing, that freshman year is a whole different scenario for a kid coming out of high school. It's good to have that guidance.
Yes, it is, and college is much different than high school. High school, we pretty much go hard for like a month and a half, but college is a year-long marathon, and just the mental toll and the strategy and just the school on top of it was a whole different ball game that I'm so glad I had my sister there to just help me through it all.
And then overall, I know there was a lot of success. What were we, a half second from a national championship? Not to bring up a bad memory.
Yep. I definitely had a national championship there, more or less in the bag, and I could taste it, I could feel it, and that was truthfully the first time I probably had my heart broken, was when I missed out on the opportunity, but you know, and I really thought everybody would remember it, but it turns out maybe it's only you and a few others that really remember it. No one else holds a candle to that, so.
Well, that's because somebody kept calling me and texting me that whole time, so I remember it quite clearly.
That's fair. He was good at the updates.
Now, you get out of SDSU. First off, what was your degree in?
So I went in ag communications. I had no idea what I wanted to do, so I kept it broad and that was, my sister kind of did a little communications as well, so I kind of got some feedback from her for what degree she kind of liked in the classes she took, and I wanted a little more ag route to it. So ag communications is what I graduated with.
Again, we're talking with J.C. Hupp, 2015 graduate of Huron High School, and ag communications, coaching was not on the radar, was it?
Not even a little bit, no. Actually, my senior year of college, I had an extra year because with COVID, they gave us a year back, so I was actually working full-time as a loan officer with the Farm Service Agency, so coaching was very not on the radar, as little as it could be. It wasn't even a thought.
But Wyoming came to you.
Yes, they did. I was driving home from the stock show February of last year, and I got this call from this 307 number, and for whatever reason, I answered it, and it was the head coach at the University of Wyoming, and he more or less just said, your hat was thrown in the ring for this job. We have an opening, and I want to know if you're interested.
And again, just like volleyball versus rodeo, you went back and forth a lot.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I remember sending out a family group chat, like, this just happened to me. I have no idea what to even think about it. And it's probably not feasible. I don't know. This is my dream job. What? I had no idea what to do. I didn't even know. I couldn't even, when the head coach called me, I didn't even have any questions for him about the job because I was just so flabbergasted I was even called.
But now you've had your first season in the books. I guess officially you're assistant coach, so you work with the men, and then while you're officially assistant coach, you are the head of the women. So you're working with the whole bunch. How many athletes total are there? How many women are there?
So we have 61, and it's almost split 50-50. There's a few more ladies, but we have a full team. And so I didn't start until after the fair. So it was more or less just the team we were given and the size we were given. So I was kind of an interesting position where I was not only getting to know these kids, like their first names, like basically getting to know them, as well as trying to figure out how to coach these kids too.
And to be honest, you're not that much older than your athletes.
Yeah. Yep. But I do feel old enough to definitely not be tempted to go to the bar really ever with them. So that's, I'm glad I'm out of that period of my life.
Now, as far as the coaching part of it, was there anything that surprised you, say, boy, I didn't see this coming as you got into it?
That's a very good question. I guess I really thought that I was going to have like a, who is this random girl from South Dakota here and why are we listening to her? But I really never had that transition. From the moment I stepped onto campus, there was so many open arms and welcoming and so much support behind me, and the kids just respected me and trusted me and listened to me right away. And that was something I really did not expect. I was fully anticipating and gearing myself up to just, you know, more or less just make myself indispensable and prove why I should be there. But I really truthfully didn't have to do that, and that was a very pleasant surprise.
Now, as far as the business there at for Wyoming Rodeo, it is different than SDSU. You're not exactly NCAA, but you are under Wyoming Athletics.
Yes, we're under athletics. So I mean, even when our kids graduated this last weekend, they wore a stole that said student athlete. We can't technically abide by NCAA rules, but all of the university athletic policies we are under.
And then another thing, too, to go along with that, you're instructing instead of competing. I know you guys do the goat clinics, but bottom line is that had to be a little bit of a change.
Definitely. Yes, it definitely was. I'm used to yelling at more so 8 through 12-year-olds, and now I'm more or less supporting 20-year-olds. So it was a change, but it's been a really fun change.
You know, when I asked you before we started, what's recruiting like? And it sounds like you don't recruit. The athletes recruit you.
Yeah, we've had countless kids reach out and want to come there and just say, and really more or less just say that it's not even about the scholarship. They just really want to be using our facilities, pursuing that degree, the degrees that we can offer at University of Wyoming, and just really want to be in the presence of myself and the head coach. So that was an unexpected surprise as well.
And I did mention the goat tying clinics. Talk about that. It's been a partnership with your sister, Taryn, for a while now, hasn't it?
Yep. And once again, someone just pretty much said that we should do it, and we kind of doubted it, and then eventually just took the leap of faith and did it. And it's pretty kind of surreal, because I remember my parents were a huge support for our clinics. They helped us not only, I guess, for lack of a better term, mentally, but financially as well, just cutting some of the costs of hosting those clinics. And my parents would always ask, you know, how'd it go? Give us an update. How are the kids? Everything. And I always just said, you know, in a perfect world, I do this for a living, but it's not feasible. And here I am doing it for a living, and it's feasible.
Okay, free marketing plug. Clinics coming up, anything like that? How can people be involved or be part of it?
Mm-hmm. So we do have a Hup Sisters Goat Tying Clinic Facebook page, and that's our main avenue that we use right now. My sister Taryn is in Pierre, and I'm obviously in Laramie, Wyoming, but we just wrapped up actually last week in our last clinic of the year. We kept this year just a little bit light, just kind of getting our feet wet with how clinics are going to look from here on out. So unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have any more clinics this year, but if you're ever around the Laramie area or the Pierre area and would like a tune-up, that is where we will be and would love to help you.
Well, let's just wrap it up with this now. 2 years ago, coaching probably not on the agenda. Here you are, a coach. Right now, maybe this will be a full-time gig. Maybe not. You got some different directions you can go here.
Yep. There's probably a few people in the Huron area that will be disappointed to hear this, but I don't plan on leaving University of Wyoming anytime soon.
2015 graduate J.C. Hup was an All-State volleyball player for the Tigers, All-Conference as well. Starter in basketball, but of course her love was always rodeo. I spoke to her back in May about her experiences that have led her to her job in Wyoming. 2016 graduate Ryan Chase was announced as the head track and field and cross-country coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. Late July, I talked to him before he took the reins for his first season. That is next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And next up, Ryan Chase, a 2016 graduate of Huron High School. Late summer, I think it was early August, actually, he took over as the head cross-country and track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University. He had been athletic director, track and field cross-country coach at Mitchell Christian before that, but he was an alumni of Dakota Wesleyan University. And when I spoke to him, we talked first where this kind of came a little out of left field. He wasn't aware that Wesleyan was looking for a coach at the time, and found out about it at a clinic when he was actually out of state. So Ryan, just kind of go through the emotions there. How'd this all come about? And there were some decisions that hard decisions, really, I'm sure, that you had to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was just kind of one of those that the doors opened up, and it was exciting to have the opportunity to come back here to the alma mater. Really wasn't something that I was planning to do this soon, and so it's just kind of a blessing and an opportunity to get to work the program, get to develop it and build it, because there's a lot of building that needs to take place. But really excited for the opportunity to see what we can accomplish, and really excited to compete at the next level.
Well, we'll just kind of go back. I've known your dad for many, many years, so I've always been aware of you. You're the youngest of the three Chase kids, and really, I think you were a runner from the time you got to school. I know you did a little wrestling, too, but it just seemed like running was your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was something that kind of always was attracted to me. I mean, I liked just kind of having that opportunity to be out on the roads. I mean, growing up in the country, there's a lot of gravel roads, so spent a lot of time in complete solitude and isolation, just kind of putting the miles in, and that was kind of when I just kind of felt my most clear, my most focused and relaxed, and just kind of was a great way to focus on something that was important to me, wasn't necessarily in the family type of deal, but it was one of those that I really just enjoyed doing and kind of helped me develop into the person I am today.
You know, in Dakota Wesley, and then I remember you were recruited by them to come and run. And what led to you going to Wesley? And I'm sure you looked at a few other spots as well.
Yeah, I mean, the big nice thing was the opportunity to compete in college and kind of just have a program that matched what I was looking for with kind of the focus on the team and that community connection. That's, I think, the biggest thing that leads most people to Wesley is the small size, the way that you're able to have a tight-knit community. Being able to grow closer together, always feel supported. I mean, especially when you go to college, it can feel like you're kind of on an island sometimes and you're just kind of a number. That was never the case at Dakota Wesleyan. Everybody knew your name pretty soon after you got on campus and you knew theirs. And that was just kind of that atmosphere of knowing if I have struggles or challenges, like there's people to go be there to support me. And I think that's a big thing that attracts most people to Wesleyan. It's just that community feel that you really can't find anywhere else.
You and your running career at Dakota Wesley, and unfortunately kind of got cut short. Sounds like you were doing well, but then a major injury your second year there kind of ended up having you change your focus on where you're going to go. You stayed involved, but not so much on the running level anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was kind of a blessing as well, to where I was very focused and driven on the running and competing aspect, and I think I kind of got priorities realigned in a little ways that made me a lot better of a well-rounded individual, a lot more capable of connecting with people in a variety of ways. It forced me to grow in different activities and kind of opened different doors and avenues for me, and then kind of got pulled back into the running scene the last couple of years, and that's just where I feel like that's where I was supposed to be all along, and that's where I'm supposed to be. And so, yeah, just kind of trying to make the most of the bad situations that happen to you. You can never control those things, but you can control how you respond. And I always just tried to make the most of the opportunities that I had when competing was kind of taken away. You just got to find that other way to channel that focus, channel that determination and willingness to do your absolute best, whatever it is. And so that's something that I took away, something I hope to share with athletes as well. Hopefully they have a more successful competing career just because of that injury really limited what I was able to do and what I wanted to do. But just being able to take care of them and help them know that just because something bad happens doesn't mean that the world is ending. It just might mean you need to pivot.
And one thing I was just thinking here, I'm kind of looking over your biography here as we're visiting, and you couldn't have picked probably a worse time to graduate from college. History major, political science, communications minor. That's beside the point. You graduated in May 2020. What a great time to be a fresh college graduate right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was kind of funny because you look at the fall of 2019 and everything was great. The economy was great. Everything was booming. The job market looked like it was going to be fantastic for us graduates. And then slowly but surely, you started to hear a thing about COVID-19 in about January. And we went home for spring break in March. And with no warning whatsoever, about halfway through spring break, we got an email from the administration saying that we weren't coming back the rest of the year. And so that was quite the change, and if anyone I'm sure remembers, I'm sure they want to block it out of their memories because it wasn't a fun time, but everything got shut down and locked down, and so it kind of went from we had all these great prospects and we're excited for the future to, oh my goodness, like, is anybody going to hire anybody? Are we just going to be unemployed because everything shut down? At least South Dakota, it wasn't that bad, but in a lot of other places, things just kind of really slowed down, and there was a lot of questions and uncertainty, and so it was an interesting time to go through the graduation process and trying to find that first job, which I'm sure anybody knows is really important for where you go from the rest of your career.
And I would imagine just from visiting before we started here, you kind of changed your lane a bit because of COVID. It sounded like you, as I said, you had a political science minor. You had looked at some things in Washington, I believe the summer before. You had actually spent some time there, but everything getting shut down in 2020, you kind of had to change a bit there.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of was really looking at whether I stay here or whether I go out to Washington, D.C., and that was kind of leaning more towards D.C. probably in the fall of that year, my senior year. And when COVID shut everything down, it's like, why would I go spend all that time just sitting in my apartment, spending an insane amount of money on rent, not even being able to work in person for who knows how long? And so it was just kind of one of those, like, okay, at least I need to figure out what I want to do in this area, because at least then I can get experience and do things on the ground, and maybe that door would open up later on, and opportunities provided themselves to where South Dakota is where I'm supposed to be, it's where I want to be, and really excited to have that opportunity to stay close to home.
You know, talking with Ryan Chase, he's a 2016 Huron High School graduate, just named head cross country track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University down in Mitchell, preparing for his first season as head coach. And you know, just looking at your background here, again, I find so many parallels. The political science, obviously, everybody knows your dad has been in the state legislature and has been involved in a government, although he's getting ready to slow down from that. But you're in education, your sister's in education. Your mom's been a longtime teacher in the Huron School District. You're kind of picking up some of the family traits there.
Yeah, it really wasn't intentional in a lot of ways, but it's kind of the way the opportunities have come and where things have kind of led to. And so, I mean, it's nice to have those people in your life that have that experience that you can kind of rely on. Don't think political science or politics is anywhere in my future anytime soon, for sure. But yeah, just happy to be with that education. I mean, I think the biggest thing that you get with that is the opportunity to really impact and mentor young people who a lot of times need that person. And so that's what I've loved at my time with Mitchell Christian in the education role, but also getting to come here, work with more college-age students as they figure out what they're going to do with their life, who they're going to be in this life. Really excited to be that positive role model and mentor to help them kind of achieve their goals and be the best person they can be.
Well, we'll get to the last 2 years where you taught and coached at Mitchell Christian. But before that, after you graduated and with COVID, so much uncertainty, you did find an opportunity and you were able to go back to Dakota Wesleyan and do some work there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of opened the doors to where I was able to be there and kind of still work with that college age group. I mean, I always knew I kind of wanted to work with people. I didn't really want a transactional relationship where you kind of just go back and forth and then you move on to the next thing. I wanted something a little more transformational where you can feel like you're truly making an impact. And so kind of working with that college age group at Dakota Wesleyan was nice. I was able to build a lot of relationships and kind of help a lot of people in that aspect. Just kind of see campus from a different perspective too, I think is a positive, just to see the behind the scenes, work with more of the people who are achieving the student experience at the university. I think that was a really good eye-opening experience too, just to not have a limited perspective to kind of broaden your horizons.
Then you spent 2 years at Mitchell Christian, and typical of a small school, you had to wear a lot of hats. You taught, I believe you spent some time as AD. You were cross-country, I assume, track and field coach as well. So, you know, that small school experience, obviously different than college, and, you know, you get to try a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, you get to wear a lot of hats, and a lot of times you're not super thrilled to always wear all those hats. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming and exhausting, but it was a great opportunity to kind of just be thrown into the fire, figure things out, get that experience. And so, I mean, that's been the best is I was able to be a full functioning head coach at the age of 24 and kind of learn the mistakes and the things that we need to correct or what to focus on and what not to worry about as much. And I mean, a lot of times that's how you get that experience. Great to sometimes follow somebody else and learn from what they do, but I think the best experience is just being the one actively on the ground, making the mistakes, learning the lessons, learning what works, what doesn't. And I think that's been the blessing of the last 2 years. I've just been able to experiment a lot, learn a lot of things, and in an environment that encourages you to take risks and kind of see what works and what doesn't, that's really kind of set me up for what the future has to hold.
And obviously, going to college was a nice step, especially at your age. But one thing we can't forget with Mitchell Christian, from a coaching standpoint, you are leaving a very, very good situation there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was really the hard part that made it bittersweet. I mean, when I got there, we really only had one distance girl who ran cross country. And now we're kind of up to six, I believe, that will be there for this year if everyone still goes out. And so that's kind of been really exciting to see that roster grow and some of those girls develop. And so, I mean, they're ready for a big step and big leap forward this year. And then on the boys' side, I mean, I was blessed with some really talented athletes who just kind of needed a little bit of structure and a little bit of preparing them for what they're actually trying to accomplish. And we were able to make big strides. I mean, it's hard to leave when you got a bunch of guys who have been committed to everything you're trying to do and seeing that progress and that success, and they're really young. I mean, our best athletes are sophomores and a freshman on the boys' side, and so it's hard to leave that, but and that's what made it bittersweet, especially those relationships and the connections you have. But sometimes when you have a plan, God kind of just laughs and throws you in a different direction, and you just got to hang on for the ride.
Can talk with Ryan Chase, 2016 Huron High School graduate, and just became a couple weeks ago head cross country track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan, leaving Mitchell Christian. Tell us the story about applying at Dakota Wesleyan. If I got the story right from your dad, you were actually not in Mitchell, somewhere out of state when you saw or found out there's an opening at Dakota Wesleyan.
Yeah, well, that's kind of one of those things, the God thing, because, yeah, I was at a coaching clinic in Kansas City. I had zero intention of leaving Mitchell Christian at all. I had not even considered applying to any other jobs the entire time I was there. I fully expected to be there for a few more years, and was at a coaching clinic in Kansas City, and originally was planning, it was a Friday and Saturday clinic, originally was planning on heading back Saturday night, just kind of driving late and getting back about 2 a.m., so I didn't want to really spend another night in a hotel. But that was kind of due to the flooding. My mom basically guilt-tripped me into staying an extra night. So I stayed the extra night and kind of was networking with some coaches. And kind of just off the cuff, the coach mentioned that there was a job open in Kansas City at a community college. And so I knew I wasn't going to apply for it, but I was just kind of curious to see what the requirements were, what they were looking, just to kind of get an idea. Because I knew I wanted to get into college coaching at some point. It was just a matter of probably a few years more down the line. And so as I went to kind of the website where you can see all the different jobs listed for college coaching, they're about the fourth one down with Dakota Wesleyan. And the position had been open for almost like 2 weeks, and I didn't even know about it. I must have missed the publication of it because I really wasn't looking at all for coaching jobs at that point. And so just kind of had that weird coincidence of discovering that at about 9 o'clock at night, and then just kind of like, well, do I go for it? Do I wait until it possibly comes up again after a few more years of coaching at high school? And just kind of felt like, you know, you never know when the position might open again, and if I didn't at least throw my name in the hat to be in contention, I probably would have regretted it and always wondered what if. And obviously with the results and how it went, very happy that I did at least put my name in the hat, see what could come from it, because it obviously led me to being here.
And so you interview, you get the job, obviously, and, you know, kind of late to be hired as a coach. I don't care, high school, college, whatever level, you're just you got the job just a few weeks before your cross-country season started, but at least you had a lot of familiarity with the program anyway. And I know Wesleyan does recruit South Dakota hard, so I'm sure there's some athletes there already that you are familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, that's the nice part coming from the high school realm. You have good relationships with a good amount of high school coaches anyway, and I think in a lot of ways they're the gatekeepers to the athletes, because some athletes want to be recruited and have their information out there, but a lot of times if you have to kind of contact the coaches contact you in order to get into contact with the athletes. And so I think those connections are really nice. I mean, it's nice that I've gotten to watch a lot of these kids who are going to be in the class of 2025, class of 2026 in person at meets, just because we've had our kids competing against them, and so gives you a really good idea of where everyone's kind of at, what you're kind of looking for from a recruiting standpoint. And so we kind of were able to come in right away. I have certain benchmarks that we're trying to aim for and what we're trying to build, because knowing if we can develop them the right way, if they're coming in at these times, if we do our job, we should be able to get them close to these certain times in order to be very competitive at the GPAC and NAI level. And that's what we want. We want to be competing for conference championships and hopefully in time national championships. I mean, we're not interested in just being good. We want to be the best we possibly can be. And I think in a lot of ways that's great. And so just kind of focus on what we need. There's a lot of building that needs to go into place because we have a very small program and a very small roster. But there's nothing here that's holding us back from being able to accomplish the goals that I have for the program and that the athletes have for each other.
You know, and you kind of answered this already, but I'll ask it anyway, where, you know, now that you're in college, I don't believe you will be teaching at this point. And when you're a head college coach, I don't care what sport, 1A, your 1A responsibility is coaching, your 1B responsibility is recruiting. So, you know, those are some changes that you will have to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, honestly, it's exciting for me. I mean, recruiting's been always something that's fascinated me, and that's something I was always excited about, getting into the college coaching realm. I mean, high school is nice because you always have a base level of athletes. You're never going to have to worry about necessarily going out to try and get more. You'll always have them in the school system. But the nice thing about it is you also can raise that ceiling of what you're able to do by being able to go out and recruit more athletes, more talented athletes, or what gaps you have in the roster. And so that's the exciting part. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, recruiting is huge. You can be a good college coach and not obsess about recruiting, but I don't feel like you can be a great college coach without being very focused on recruiting and bringing in the best possible athletes. And so I think that's kind of the biggest focus is this year we want to set the culture. We want to set what the focuses and the foundations of the program are, get everybody who is currently on the team bought into those, moving in the right direction, raise our expectations, raise our goals. Because I think a lot of times it can be very just trying to get a little bit better, but we can do a lot better than that. We can try and be competitive at the highest level right off the bat, just kind of raise what these athletes believe they can do. And then when we bring in athletes in the future, they will come in and see that culture and that environment right away and be a lot more focused on knowing what the expectations are, what it takes to get us where we want to go, and how we can help each other get there throughout the same time.
Well, it's been a great interview. This has been a fun visit. I'll just bring one more thing and then let you go because I know you're busy with just getting ready for a season here. But one thing I look at, I believe you're 26 or right in that neighborhood. Do you feel, you know, getting this job at your age, are you maybe a year or two ahead of where you thought your schedule would be?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of fully expected, like I said, to be a Mitchell Christian for a few more years and kind of get to see those kids graduate. And that was kind of the expectation, and then I felt, okay, it would be the next logical step to take the next step to the collegiate level. And so, yeah, probably a few years ahead of where I expected or planned to be. But, I mean, it doesn't really feel like it's overwhelming at all. Everything makes sense. Everything's going well. This is the second week, and everything's been going smooth. We've had several kids on campus already, several conversations with recruits that we've reached out to in the last week and a half. And so, just a matter, there's going to be a big learning curve, I'm sure, with a lot of things that are just at the collegiate level and just different responsibilities when it's a full-time gig rather than just something you do in the fall and the spring. But a lot of it's just going to be learning as we go and seeing what we can accomplish because, like I said before, that's how I've learned the skills that I have right now is just kind of doing things and making the mistakes and learning from those mistakes and figuring out the best path forward. And that's what we're going to have to do here at Dakota West End.
Ryan Chase, again, head cross-country track and field coach at Dakota Wesleyan University, 2016 graduate of Huron High School, so he's in his first year as a college coach. We have one more graduate of Huron High School that's made his mark in college athletics, and well, I had Matt Watson do this interview. I think we did it back in the middle of April. I just thought it'd be weird to interview my own son about his job, so I turned it over to Matt, and he talked to my son, Jaron Duffy, who is an associate athletic director for fan engagement at the University of South Dakota. He's been with the Coyotes athletic department for 6 years now, and we'll have Matt's conversation with Jaron next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Matt Watson sitting in here for Mr. Jeff Duffy in order to talk to Mr. Jaron Duffy. Jaron, thanks so much for joining us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt.
So let's go all the way back. You were a part-timer at this very radio station. Did you take anything out of when you worked here? Did you take anything that you brought out into the world that you used in the rest of your life, Jaron?
Honestly, yes. It was my first full-time job, but my first job that I had in the summer, I think it was my freshman year of high school. And there's one portion of it that directly applies to what I'm doing now. So when I was working either a high school game, even a Twins game during the summer, there's always media breaks during games, and we'd either fill it in with national commercial logs or local spots. I still work with our local commercial spots to this day. So in part of my position, which we'll talk about in a little bit, I work on the sponsorship side of things, and we work a lot with our different partners on local breaks, national breaks for different USD sporting events. So it's something that I was familiar with fresh out of college, and that's something that applied directly with what I'm doing now. So beyond just working on people skills, working with people like you, like my dad, like everyone at the radio station there, it was nice to be able to be familiar with how a game log works, how media timeouts work. So I did take that away from a position, which isn't easy to do when you're younger and just looking for any sort of position to start get your feet wet in the professional field. So it was kind of cool to have something that applied directly to what I'm doing now.
And we will get to not only USD, but another stop that you made professionally. But we're still on the old Renaissance tour here. So you graduate. What year did you graduate high school?
So I graduated from Huron High School in 2012.
2012, and then you go straight to USD. Is that right?
Yep. So I did my undergrad work at USD. Graduated there in 2017 with my undergrad degree.
So now, during that time, do you get anything in the media world? Do you like volunteer for something, or did you get a job in some sort of media during that time when you're going to school?
Yes. Yeah, so I believe it was about my sophomore year of college here at USC. I began working in the athletic department on the game day production team. So there's a wide variety of tasks there. So I worked directly under Joe Tenti in the marketing department. But what happened there on game days was there's a group of 15 to 20 students that kind of rotate through different game day positions. I could be doing anything from running a camera on game day that goes on the stream on GoYotes.com, up on the video board at games, running replay for the stream, playing the music at games, picking contestants to participate in on-court promotions like a half-court shot, a shooting contest, handing out giveaway items to fans. Really, whatever they needed help with that day was what I did during my undergrad years here at USD. So, again, a good way to kind of get my feet wet in the sporting industry and kind of see how a game day works at a Division I level.
So 2017, you're done with your first degree at USD. And if I remember this correctly, because obviously I'm on this side, I'm working with your dad, but there was some, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm completely off base, but there was some, you weren't exactly sure where you wanted to go from there. You weren't dedicated right then and there at that moment to continuing your education, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, that's accurate. I finished my undergrad degree, and I was certainly ready to be done with school if the opportunity presented itself. So I was applying for some different full-time positions at some different athletic departments kind of across the nation there. But then an opportunity opened up within the athletic department at USD in their athletic marketing department for a graduate assistant position. So what that would entail is kind of going up a level from just running cameras on game days, running music, more toward working directly with some head coaches and some sports on putting together marketing and attendance plans, working a little bit on the revenue generation side of things, and kind of just taking the next step towards a full-time position. But what went with that was going to graduate school as well, which is what I ended up doing. Ended up being a great decision. It's something that if you're going to go to graduate school, it's nice to get it done as soon as your undergrad's done. Wasn't exactly what I had planned at the time, but it worked out well in the end.
So then when do you graduate completely from USD then?
So I graduated completely from USD, I believe it was 2018 or 2019. So I was worked as a graduate assistant for a full year here, but actually finished up my master's degree when I had my next stop over at Iowa State.
Yeah, now we'll get to Iowa State right now, but really a little bit of, if I understand again correctly, a little bit of what Iowa State was you probably, if you wanted to, you could have just stayed at USD. You could have, you were already embedded there. You had your undergraduate and graduate degree from there. So you probably could have stayed. The way I understand it, you kind of wanted to get out beyond that USD circle. And I don't know, maybe just to see what's out there or to see how a job would go, that same job would go in another market. Is that accurate? You kind of wanted to get out of that bubble, if not for a long time, at least for just a little bit.
Yeah, that's accurate. And the way my graduate degree was set up was to be a two-year program. So I did plan on being here for another year at USD. So it would be a two-year graduate assistantship. But during that time, I was encouraged to just look around. If another opportunity presents itself, it certainly wouldn't be something that they would prevent me from doing while I was here at USD. And in the back of my mind, and what I've been told from some of the people who mentored me a bit here at USD in the athletics world was that eventually you got to go somewhere besides just USD. I learned a lot at USD, but you got to see how other athletic departments operate, especially some at a little bit of a bigger level, like at the Big 12, Power 5 level. Athletic departments just operate a little bit differently. There's more staff. There's a lot to learn there. So that's certainly something I wanted to experience at some point. I always thought that eventually I'd end up back in this area one way or the other, but I was certainly open to going somewhere else, learning a little bit more and kind of broadening my horizons a little bit.
So you do end up getting a job at Iowa State. I remember you were there for a time, and that had to be, just guessing again, but that had to be probably the scariest move, right? Because now you're outside of that USD bubble. You're in a different state, a state that you've never lived in. So that had to be kind of the big jump, huh? Kind of the big scary, the one kind of into adulthood almost.
Yeah. So that was my first full-time position. So it certainly was a jump. I definitely describe it as more exciting than anything. It's certainly a little bit nerve-wracking going somewhere you've never been before. I think I'd been to Ames one time before that for a time when USD played there in the NCAA tournament. But other than that, the next time I was in Ames was when I was interviewing for the position, then moving there a few weeks later. So certainly a big jump, but it was exciting at the time to go to a school the caliber of Iowa State, kind of get out on my own for the first time out of South Dakota, which was a place that I definitely wanted to be, but I was not too far away, and it was nice to kind of be out on my own and kind of spread my wings on my own there. So it was certainly nerve-wracking, but I definitely describe it as exciting. There was a lot going on there, and it was definitely a good opportunity at the time.
And what was your official title there at Iowa State? How long were you there? What kind of things did you do?
So I was there for about a year and a half. My title was Associate for Athletics Marketing. So here at USD, we have one full-time marketing person. At Iowa State, they had five full-time marketing people. So I was the fifth in line there. So it was an entry-level position, but it's exciting for me. I got my first full-time position. So that was cool in itself there. But just to be at Iowa State at the time, what I always tell people is I've learned a lot while I was there, but just experiencing everything was certainly cool. I was there at a really cool time where The football program under Matt Campbell at Iowa State was really taken off. It was Brock Purdy's true freshman year. He became the starting quarterback about four games into the season. And on top of that, David Montgomery was the running back. Hakeem Butler was a wide receiver for Iowa State. They had multiple draft picks off that team. And then you go to the basketball side of things. Tyrese Halliburton, who's an all-star with the Pacers now, he was a true freshman at Iowa State. Bridget Carlton, who plays for the Minnesota Lynx, was on the women's basketball side. Both teams made the NCAA tournament. Football had one of their best seasons in 20 or 30 years. So it was a really cool time to be at Iowa State. Great opportunity to learn there, but it was cool to see how everything operates at the big-time level. So for my position specifically, the sports that I worked with were soccer, gymnastics, and softball. So that was cool to have those sports as kind of my own, to kind of have some different projects to raise attendance, raise revenue for those teams, work closely with those coaches. So it was cool to be off on my own there, meeting new coaches, working on new marketing plans, learning from the staff that was in place there. And then on top of it, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, football, those are kind of all hands-on-deck sports at Iowa State. So just because soccer, gymnastics, softball, those were the sports that I was responsible for. I was still working closely with football, men's basketball. I got to shoot some cool videos with Brock Purdy, David Montgomery throughout my time there. Worked closely with some alumni, Monte Morris, who's currently on the Minnesota Timberwolves, that we worked at a couple events he was at and worked on some content with him. So it was really cool to get experience what the whole athletic department looks like when it comes together, and really get to work with some successful programs at a high level.
Hey, my morning show co-host is a Niners fan. You don't happen to have Purdy's number, do you? We could maybe give him some pointers.
I'm guessing the number I have for him is probably not the number he's using anymore, but he was coming up at the time, and it was a really big decision. They had a quarterback who was a fifth year coming in. He got hurt. They put their backup quarterback in for a couple games. All of a sudden, they started this true freshman, and then just went on this crazy run. And now he's a Super Bowl quarterback for the 49ers. So really cool to see him come full circle.
Crazy, crazy. And, of course, so now we must be around pandemic time. Where were you during the pandemic?
Sure. So at that time, I was back at USD.
Was that after Iowa State or previous to?
That was after Iowa State. Yep, I was back at USD by then.
Okay, so let's get then back into, how do you get back to USD from Iowa State? They call you? Did you see a posting? Did somebody that knew you call and say a job's opening up? How'd you end up back at USD?
Yeah, so obviously I was still at Iowa State, planned on being there for another year. I was there a little bit over a year, about a year and a half, and then I got a call from someone within the athletics department at USD, just letting me know that the director of marketing position had opened up and that they would like me to consider applying for that position. So I, of course, applied for it. My fiance at the time worked in Yankton, obviously from South Dakota, so that was a very attractive position for me. So I applied for that, interviewed for that position over the summer, and ended up getting that role. So going from Iowa State, where I certainly learned a lot, and there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen for the marketing side of things, a lot of support all the way around. And then you get to South Dakota, where it's the mid-major level, where I go from being in charge of soccer, gymnastics, and softball while supporting the other sports, going right into being the main contact for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, while also supporting soccer, softball, track, really all the sports. So it was quite the transition, but one that I was super excited for and really excited to get back to Vermillion.
Okay, so then what year do you come back to USD? Where are we at here in the timeline?
Okay, so July of 2019 would be when I got back to USD.
Oh, wow, so you've been back there nearly 5 years.
Yep, the summer will be 5 year anniversary here.
And I understand that you recently got a little promotion.
Yeah, so I've held three different titles since I've been back at USD. So director of marketing, I was really just in charge of the marketing promotion side, social media side of things. Then I believe it was 2021, maybe August or so, I was promoted to assistant AD.
for marketing and fan engagement. So within that role, I still oversaw everything on the marketing side, but then also became manager for our ticket side of things, our video side of things. So I oversaw those departments as well. And then recently, I believe it was about a month and a half ago, I was promoted to associate AD for fan engagement. So I still oversee marketing, video, ticketing. Now I also oversee our communications department, who handles all our media requests, stats our games, puts out our press releases. I also oversee our Coyote Sports Properties group, who does all of our sponsorship sales. And then the other one is Sodexo. So they are concessions provider on game days. I'm the liaison between athletics and concessions. So really anything that's revenue generating or touches fans in any way on the fan engagement side of things, that's where I come into play in some capacity.
Well, you mentioned you're married. Your dad tells me you like to fish. It sounds like you got so much going on. How you got time for anything else?
Yeah, during the season, there certainly is not time for it. I was looking at my calendar back from, like, November and October, and every weekend, really, if there's not a football game, there's a volleyball game, or basketball starts up so early now that not a lot of time for it that time of year. But it slows down a little bit more in the spring and certainly into the summertime. So that's certainly where I can get out and golf a little bit or go fishing with the river right over here. But it's nice for this time of year where we can kind of plan and look forward to next year and kind of figure out where we want to be from an attendance side of things, revenue side, and then put some plans into place to show how we're going to get there. So it never really completely slows down, but there are certainly times of the year where you can get more on the planning side, get out of the office at 5 o'clock rather than 10 o'clock at night. So it's a whirlwind, but it's certainly a fun industry to work in.
Well, a little bit about the personal life before we let you go. As you mentioned before, you are with another Huron athlete. You got your high school sweetheart, fair enough?
Yeah, Caitlin Duffy, maiden name is Caitlin Allerdings, is my wife. We got married in May of 2020, so right in the heart of the pandemic there. So we're coming up on our four-year anniversary, but she's also a Huron graduate class of 2013, also went to USD and currently works at Northwestern Energy.
Okay, and you had mentioned that she was in Yankton. Have you guys kind of settled on a place yet, or are you still kind of looking around for an in-betweener?
Yeah, so right when I got this position in 2019, we lived in Yankton for about 9 months, and then we bought a house in Vermilion in May of 2020. So we're closing in on 4 years for our anniversary and also the four-year anniversary of getting our house here in Vermilion. So we're Vermilion residents.
Well, very nice. It sounds like things have come together quite well for you. You've been on quite a few adventures. You like being in the sports aspect of things professionally for your real job. It's sometimes I say, because they let me do sports and all, it doesn't really feel like a job most of the time when you're out at all these ball games.
Yeah, no, it's certainly cool. Sometimes you have to look around a little bit and appreciate what you're doing. As I'm sure you've experienced, it's one thing after another, and sometimes you can get a little bogged down. Then you look around and be like, oh, I'm at a game right now doing sponsorship activation, or I'm going to a meeting where we're talking with some season ticket holders about the upcoming season. So as a fellow sports guy that really lives and breathes sports, that's a topic of conversation all the time. So it's cool to have a job where you really get paid to talk about sports, promote the teams here at USD, which are teams I'm certainly passionate about, and also try to get other people to go to games. It's easy to sell something when it's something that you're passionate about. And something that you believe in. It's something where if I had a job in a different industry and lived in Vermilion, I'd certainly be going to games here. So it's something that it's easy to talk about with people, fun talking about the upcoming football season and different projects we have going on. So certainly a cool position.
That was actually going to be one of my last questions. Do your job, buddy. Tell me what's coming up for USD Sports. You guys got anything big on the horizon? Anything going up? You're building new programs? What's exciting for the Yotes?
Sure. So there's been a lot of change within the athletics department. John Schemmel became our new athletic director this past January, and we've seen changes all over the program, and there's a lot of excitement around that. So some of the projects for buildings, we're working on finishing up a new pool that's just across the street from the Dakota Dome, next up on the project list. We're working on renovating the east side of the dome in the coming years, and also potentially having an indoor track facility built as well. So some cool projects there, but looking forward to this upcoming season. We're in the planning stages for football and volleyball. Football had their best season at the Division I level this past season. We're really excited with where we're at for season ticket sales on that. And then, of course, our volleyball team won another Summit League, share of a Summit League title this past year, and has really built a powerhouse over there for Coyote volleyball. So we've got some really exciting things going on here at USD. I'm excited to plan and build on those throughout the summer.
Jaron, did I not see a video where you absolutely torched a D-back who got drafted last weekend?
Yeah, so that was a fun video we did back in October. We were promoting one of our football games this past fall. And then Miles Harden, who got drafted by the Cleveland Browns this past weekend, we were having him guard people on campus, and Aiden Bauman, our quarterback, would throw routes to different students on campus. And then at the end, Miles wanted me to go up against him. I teach a class here at USD, and Miles was in my class 2 years ago. So he wanted me to run a route on him. And for everyone else, he just let them kind of run the route. For me, he kind of jammed me on the line, which I wasn't expecting. Then I kind of got loose on him, but then I didn't haul in the pass either. So kind of a cool moment there, but also fun to see athletes here at USD getting drafted in the NFL, and especially when it's people you know, and people that you know are good people.
Speaking of people you know and good people, I knew you were a good one from the beginning, Jaron. You were always a great employee here. I knew you'd go on to bigger and better things. I'm glad to see everything's going so well for you. It was nice to catch up a little bit. You take care of yourself. We'll see you at a Yotes game.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Jaron Duffy, Associate AD at the University of South Dakota. Matt Watson spoke with him back in April. And again, just kind of a fun show for me today. Three here on high school graduates out of the last 12 years or so that have went on to have pretty good roles in college athletics, as well as kind of saving these three. You know, played them a couple of times during the season, but or during the year, but thought this will be a good way to end out the year on Dakota Sports Saturday with these three interviews. So there you go. We'll be back to more regular programming starting next week on Dakota Sports Saturday. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
Here we go with a championship edition of the Territorial Rodeo Update's top five countdown. The 2024 National Finals Rodeo is in the books. Gold buckles have been awarded. Now a holiday break, then back to the grind with the Sandhill Stock Show Rodeo in Odessa, Texas. We'll be back to take a gander at the top five in each event after this word from our sponsors. God bless them.
Hey everyone, this is Max with Sue Steele. We have the best discounts of the year on grain bins, fans, accessories, and paddle sweeps going on now through January 31st. If you're planning a bin project, an upgrade, or a hoop building next year, talk to your local Sioux dealer today. Be sure to ask about the new mini paddle sweep, which offers up to 2,200 bushels per hour and nearly eliminates the back-breaking work of sweeping a bin.
To find your local Sioux Steel dealer, head to SiouxSteel.com. These discounts won't last long. Solve all your grain storage problems with the family-owned Sioux Steel Company.
Attention equipment owners, selling your ag or construction assets doesn't have to be a hassle. Purple Wave Auction does all the heavy lifting for you. We're the full service, no reserve online auction experts. No need to haul your equipment. We come to you, photograph everything right where it sits, and showcase it to buyers nationwide. From listing to payment collection, let Purple Wave Auction simplify your selling experience. Register for free at purplewave.com.
FYI, for your information, this will be our last week on Sirius XM 147 as the new hot show, The Greenhorn with Parker James, will make its North American debut. We'll still be blasting out to Great American Hometown Flamethrowers up and down the dial. Thanks to Austin and the crew at Rural Radio in Nashville for all they do. Salute!
Isn't that wonderful?
First in our hearts and on the gold buckle list of champions, Purple Wave Warrior J.D. Struxness of Milan, Minnesota. Family man, Vikings fan, about as nice a guy as you ever want to meet, thank God. Your 2024 World Champion Steer Wrestler or Bear Dogger, J.D. Struxness.
Good job.
In the bareback riding, Dean Thompson waited 14 rounds to win an NFR buckle, but captured the 10th round to win a nice shiny gold one.
You're the man.
All right, Team Rope and the team of Tyler Wade and Wesley Thorpe set a single season record to capture the title. Santa Bronkbust and 26-year-old Rider Wright, Road Wright, get it to make his night trip to Vegas and capture his second championship saddle.
Score, dude! Yeah!
21-year-old Riley Webb snared his second gold buckle in the tie-down roping. Whoa. Barrel racing. Ken Chasen was a literal horse race right down to the wire. Cassie Mowry bested Haley Kinzel for the crown.
Oh, she's very good.
Toro Twist in the most dangerous sport on the planet. Josh Frost stayed consistent, covering 7 of 10 head for the coveted title of World Champion Bull Rider. I like it.
You are such a stud.
On behalf of my esteemed colleague, producer Big D Derek Beck, and the Air Force at this blowtorch, Monty James, for America's Top 5 Countdown. Thanks for listening. In these days of consolidation, conglomerations, and giant corporate-owned dealerships, it's nice to see farm and ranch family-owned Premier Equipment expanding. See their impressive New Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com or visit their hometown locations in Eureka, Battle, Huron, Mowbridge, Isabel, and now Sturgis. Bill Linscove started this outfit in 1951, and now 4 generations later, they are still going strong and getting stronger. Parts counter is open, and the coffee is always on at the 6 Premier Equipment New Holland locations. Hit PremierEQSD.com.
So once a week, we check in with Reg from the Real Estate Connection. Now, the Real Estate Connection is located on Dakota Avenue South in Huron. Call the office at 605-352-1300. Check them out online at realestate.com.